This is John Fuller, and please remember to let us know how you're listening to these programs on a podcast, app, or website.
I mean, here's me. I consider myself one of the toughest people on the planet, whether that was in my mind or not. Seeing my daughter go through that, I was like, putty.
That's Jace Robertson of the super popular TV series on A&E, Duck Dynasty. And Jace and his wife, Missy, join us today on Focus on the Family. Your host is Focus president and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, there is a confession here. Trent Troy and I, my two boys, we found Duck Dynasty. We did it through the series. You know, you can go to Walmart or some other store and buy the DVDs. And my boys bought two or three of the seasons. And we started watching this, and we fell in love with the show.
Couldn't stop.
It couldn't stop. Yeah. You talk about binge watching. You know, Saturday, should we stop for lunch now, or what do we do? It was just so funny. And we loved it. And the shenanigans and, you know, just the character of the family comes through loud and clear. So it was a real pleasure to fall in love with the show, and we still watch, and our boys love it. And today, the message here is we want to encourage you, because the Robertson family, these are people of faith, faith in Christ, and they wear it on their sleeves, and I'm glad they do, because we need more people in the culture who have notoriety to be able to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, get over it, it's okay, it's a good thing. And I am so proud of them and the way that they handle it. And we want to encourage you today through their story. We're going to talk about their book, Blessed, Blessed, Blessed. And I think you get the idea of what they see in their life and how God has taken care of them. It's going to be fun. It's going to be enlightening. And it's going to touch your heart.
It will, especially if you're a parent dealing with the child's medical struggles, because there's a walk of faith that really reflects a trust in God that you're going to hear in just a moment. Jim, it is Sanctity of Human Life Week, which is a big deal for us here at Focus on the Family. That's one of our core founding pillars of the ministry.
It is, John. It's not too late if you want to register for the Evangelicals for Life conference, and you can participate via live stream.
Yeah, that's right. We have some great speakers, and you'll find the link at our website, and you'll get the tools you need to be able to stand up and speak on behalf of life when you join us by watching that stream.
Yeah. Hey, Jace and Missy, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Blessed to have you. Your book, Blessed, Blessed, Blessed. We're blessed to have you guys here. What fun you put on television through the series. And how many seasons have you done this now, Jace?
Let's see, 5 years. How many seasons?
11 seasons and 130 episodes.
I am so glad to see you guys are just like Gene and me. So you've got to correct Jace occasionally, is that right? This is normal for husbands and wives.
This is normal.
We have loose facts. Wives have the facts.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just after a while, it just all got into a montage.
Well, you know, that's why we're created as a helpmate. So I'll just wait and see if he gets it right. And when he doesn't, I'll correct him.
Yep.
That's it.
That's how it works. Off mic, you're correcting. You were a little loose on the age of your kids.
Yeah, I was close, though.
You were close.
You were within
a year or two.
Our oldest is 22.
Correct.
Then Cole is 19. And then I forgot she just had a birthday.
A couple of months ago, but yeah.
So that's why
you
forgot,
every
right?
Year.
It was a couple months ago. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff is
happening. You two have been married 25 years, roughly. I won't ask specifically. I don't want the date, Jace. Yeah. Is 25 close?
Yeah, it's north of 25.
Okay.
Is that right? Seven? Thank you. Are you serious?
I had to do the math.
Help him out here.
Welcome to Focus on the Family. Today we're counseling.
Live
Jace
counseling.
And Missy. I love it. But, you know, I related to part of the story that I read in your book about wanting to go through life single, because I went through that phase, and it was about a 2-year phase for me where I said, okay, Lord, I'm not dating. I'm done with that. I want to be true to you. I was probably 22, so that was a tough time to have that mentality. And I remember I was sold out. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be Paul. That's what I wanted to be. And and shortly thereafter, about 2 years later, some guy came up to me and he said, hey, you know, the pastor actually said, God has your mate, your wife picked out for you, and she's going to have a heart for the things of God. And I thought, this guy's wacko. He doesn't even know I'm going through life single. That was Wednesday night. I met my wife, Jean, Saturday. Is that an amazing thing? And you
the same
you said
thing
the same
happened
thing.
To me. I made a decision, you know, to follow Christ when I was 14. And, you know, in my book, I wrote about that. My dad, here's my dad who had all this bitterness towards Because when I was a kid, he wasn't a Christian, but I got to see God's evidence right in front of my eyes with him being transformed.
And, how big was that change? I mean, paint that picture.
It was huge. I mean, he went from one of the worst people on the planet.
Just the way he treated people, anger and all that stuff? Anger.
Well, you know, he was just drunk every night, fist fights, you know. He beat on my mom, us. He cheated on my mom. He was in trouble with the law.
Wow, I mean, and you saw every that change.
Every night. And then all of a sudden, you know, which led to a separation. And so I didn't see him for months. And then the next time I saw him, I knew something was different. You know, we had moved to West Monroe, which is, you know, where we're at now, right? He basically kicked us out, and which is kind of laughable, you know. Well, we should have just left. But and, you know, then he transforms. But, you know, as a kid, you get bitter, and I just, you know, I was scared of him. And when I heard the story of Jesus, you know, his death on a cross and the resurrection, it hit me that I thought, you know, if I'm going to embrace Jesus's grace and his forgiveness, I'm going to have to forgive my dad. And he had proven it, really. It had been years, you know, since he had turned around. But I, you know, I was just still bitter about it. But so that day, you know, where they still live, you know, the Washita River backs up to his backyard. You know, I made that decision to follow Christ and through that to forgive my dad. And then, you know, so here I am as a teenager trying to live a Christian life, which I think is the most difficult thing to do on the planet. And I dated a few girls, and I told them, you know, where I stood, because I wanted to wait till I got married. I wanted to do it God's way, you know. And I would tell these girls when I went out on a date, first thing I'd do, I'd have my Bible. I'd say, look, I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe he's coming back. And that usually ended the date. Well,
that was one hot date, huh?
And most of it just, I was getting frustrated, and I said, that's it, I'm done. And as soon as I said I'm done, it wasn't a week later. And Missy and I had a conversation at a we were at some kind of teen devotional or something. And I had dated a girl who was not a spiritual girl at all. We had just broken up, and she was friends with that girl. And we decided to go out on a date at the school where they went together just to kind of make her jealous.
Now, remember, here's good motivation. Yeah. I was 16, and he was 18, so we weren't the most mature.
Yeah, we were being juvenile. Yeah,
your brains weren't fully developed.
Yeah, right.
But... and so then we actually had, you know, we had a good time. And then I gave her the speech. Then we actually went out on a date, and I gave her the speech. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to help people get to heaven. And she's like, I'm in. And that literally is how I was like, she was the first girl I ever took out that when I gave them the I'm following Jesus speech, she was like, sounds great to me.
But you know what's awesome about that, being a father of two teenage boys right now, 17 and 15, my boys. That's the kind of character you want to see in a young man, you know,
absolutely.
And certainly a young lady. But Missy, you're coming from a family that's, the way I read it, I mean, more of your typical middle-class family, you know, godliness, cleanliness is next to godliness,
oh,
I think is what you said.
That's one of my dad's favorite sayings.
Yeah, talk about that. Of course, it's not in the scripture for those that don't know that. It's actually not in the scripture.
That's true.
But that was what your family's creed was.
Yes. Well, I'm not even sure if we were considered middle class, because my dad was a preacher and got all of his income by basically donations, because he has a program called We Care Ministries. And so we lived on people donating
right.
to that. And he traveled all across the country preaching. And my mom, bless her heart, has a master's education in vocal training and choral direction, but chose to not have a paycheck to help start our Christian school.
Sure.
So she chose to volunteer her time up until I was in middle school. And so when I found that out when I was, I think I was 30 when I found that out, and I was like, you mean we were poor on purpose?
Yeah.
Like, you said no thank you to the paycheck, and you know, you're trained. And so to me, that showed that they had such a servant heart, and they wanted their children to have that Christian background. And so they sacrificed a lot to help start our Christian school.
Did they have any, I mean, I'm probing into this, so if I'm beyond the boundary here,
feel
just tell
free,
me. But when you're now dating Jace, were they going, honey, Do you know these people? Do you know this family?
Thumbs down. They were not thumbs down the dating part. They loved Jace. They knew Phil was preaching all the time at his house and sharing the gospel, which if you look at my dad and you look at Phil, they look like total opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
Dad's clean shaven, he's not an outdoorsman, he's not into sports, he's not into hunting, he is preacher.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you look at Phil, we know what Phil's like. Okay.
But so they did the same thing.
But they preach. They both stand and are passionate on sharing the gospel of Jesus. Yeah. So when my dad realized that that's what was happening here, he was all for us dating. Now, being engaged at 17 was not something my dad was ready for.
That was a little
more
difficult.
That's where it all took a turn.
So what did he say to you, Jace?
Well, I didn't know. I was raised on the river, and we didn't have a lot of the social etiquette rules that most people have. And so Missy said, look, you need to ask my dad's blessing if you want to ask, for my hand in marriage. And my thing is, well, we'll be engaged like a year and a half. It wasn't like we were going to be married instantly. And she's like, well, you got to talk to my dad. So I was like, okay.
So what are you going
to
talk about?
I thought it'd just be a formality. So I go to him. I was over to her house and I was like, I want to ask your blessing in marrying your daughter. And he said, absolutely not. Whoops.
Not the way you planned for that conversation to go.
And so since, my maturity level was not where it needed to be.
How old are you at this point?
How old 19? Was I when 19. I passed? I was 19 and you were 17.
I was 17.
She was 17. And I said, I don't mean right now, but just like in a year and a half. And he was like, no. And I said, well, you being a preacher, you'll appreciate what I'm going to say. I said, I have not laid a hand on your daughter in any kind of any inappropriate way. And I said, I want to quote a verse to you. And I said, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. That was the worst thing.
You didn't find that.
I saw his eyes get red.
Did not go over.
You didn't find that the motivation.
Jazz routine girls would not respond well to that.
No.
Yeah.
So we left.
But there's a lot of truth in that, let me say. I mean, there's truth in that we tend to want our kids to marry later, mm-hmm. and they are burning in their passion. And as Christian parents, we got to think about that, don't we?
Yeah, and what's weird is we really never resolved that conversation. We just
well, I think you did.
Well,
I'm just saying.
We just went on because I thought I'm doing this whether you do it or not. I gave her the ring, and I figured, on wedding day, if they showed up, then we were all good, and they showed up with smiles.
Jace, we have Missy's father on the phone. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, wouldn't that be funny? We haven't resolved this yet.
It hit me how he was feeling when my sons got that age, and they were like, like Reed, he was like, I'm thinking about getting married. And I was like, you need to wait a little bit there.
Till you're 40.
That was my first reaction. And, my daughter, I don't even want to talk about.
Well, we're going to get into that because that's the bulk of the story in the book, Blessed, Blessed, Blessed. But that early marital stage where you're at, was everything pretty reasonable? You're both coming from Christian homes now. Did you have it all buttoned down and wired, Missy? Did Jace, after a big hunt, come in and say, Missy, I just want to tell you how much I love you?
Yeah, no. No, the hunting days were hard, and they're still hard. After 27 years, hunting season is hard.
Don't they call you hunting widows?
Hunting widows, yes. I call it – I don't even call it hunting season. I call it the ordeal.
I think we need to start, though, by saying we did agree going in.
We did. We did. And that's why – I mean, if you're going to ask me about it, I feel free to talk about it. But I agreed 30 years ago – when we started dating and all that, he said, there's one thing you need to know about me. I hunt every day of hunting season. So if we're going to go any farther, you need to know that.
And you thought that might be a week?
I had no clue. He told me, he explained it all.
First date, I said.
Not first date. Everything
I said,
on the first date.
The first date, I told you that I love Jesus and I'm going to follow
him. Yes.
Are you in? Yes. About the third or fourth date, I said, if this goes any further, I need you to know I'm going to duck hunt every day of the season. Remember, I said, have you got a problem with that?
Babe, I remember that.
Yeah, and you said, yes, and you said, if we ever get married and have kids, I want them to go to the same Christian school that you went to. And I was like, deal. And so
I said, it's not free.
And so we had an agreement.
We had an agreement that I would not complain about him going hunting every day.
And
he would not complain about how much money it was going to take to send them to our Christian school.
And the drive.
And it worked out so far.
And the drive.
Almost 30 years.
Well, I mean, you got to remember when our kids got old enough to go to this school, we had no money. And so I was like, I know we made this agreement, but how are we going to pay for this?
Well, we've got to figure it out.
It's really amazing, you know, just we
found a way. And basically,
I
went to work. So I worked, and almost all of my paycheck would go to sending them to that Christian school.
Yeah.
That's what it
amounted
to. You
know, Missy and Jace, the question I have to make this tangible for the listeners, you fill in the blank. Is what I'm hearing. You know, there's always going to be these disagreements within marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be, I get to hunt every day. I could hear guys going, I wish I would have made that deal. I didn't make that deal. Jace was smarter than me. Or the wife is saying, you know what, there are things that I thought we had agreed to that aren't happening. What can you just give me a little marital advice?
Well, there's always unmet expectations, always. And so whether it's sin or whether it's not sin, it, you know, it can be either or both. But with me, with all of that, I would always remember, I agreed to this. I mean, I can't go back and say, this is terrible. My life is horrible. Mm-hmm. And people would even come up to me, women over the years would say, I don't know how you do it. And especially when he would be gone. Because, you know, if the ducks weren't in West Monroe, because our lifestyle relied on the selling of that hunting video or hunting DVD, they had to make those hunting DVDs for us to continue living and providing food for our families, basically. So I always lived out of gratefulness because, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. And, yes, sometimes I felt like a single parent.
Well, and I love that example. That's the right way to – you said not – it doesn't deal with sin. And now it's just choices of life and what you want to do entertainment and other things and feel fulfilled. Yeah. And so many couples need that peace to say, this is okay. It'll be okay. It's not the biggest mountain in my life. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that and what you expressed.
I figured out, too. I mean, I need to provide for my family, but I also wanted to do what I love to do to make a living because then I could feel like in my mind – okay, I'm working here. You
know? At least in your mind.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but he did. No, it's true. So it's been years since he's had to do this, but he would go hunting sometimes all day. It might take all day to bring in the ducks. But that doesn't mean that the duck calls, someone else was in there making them. That was still his job. So he would bring them and make them till 10, 11 o'clock in the living room with baby sleeping. Well, The duck call making noise because it was put them together, blow it a couple times, and throw it in the box. And that's what I would hear. I would hear the silence, you know, then the call, and then the plop in the box. And that's what our babies went to sleep to every night.
Even in Duck Dynasty, what people don't realize, the first year that we were filming 8 to 10 hours a day, then I was going to Duck Commander and building these duck calls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I did not sleep that whole year. And I finally told Willie, I was like, look, you either want to give me a raise or we got to train some people.
Home after the filming? He's not showing up at the office?
No. And so we would be filming in there, but then everybody would leave. The cameras would leave, and I'd still have – I mean, we had orders to get out, and I was the only one at the time, you know, with our crew doing that. So, because it takes some skill to put them together.
Well, that is what makes you guys so real. I mean, you're still, you know, normal folk, even though the Lord has opened up an amazing opportunity to touch millions of people.
No doubt.
And that's what I love about you. You guys have remained who you are, and I love that.
And we're visiting today on Focus on the Family with Jace and Missy Robertson, and it's a privilege to have them in the studio with us. Blessed, 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 and we'll encourage you to get a copy at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Let's move to the kids. You mentioned one of your sons. Give us a picture of the kids. There's three children, right?
Yes. Three completely different children.
Oh, yeah, I know that too.
Of mom or dad of any number of children know that they're all different. But Reed is our oldest. He's 22, and he was married last year, October of 16. And they live in Nashville, and he is a music writer and music performer. So, and Brighton, his wife, she's in nursing school and in her last year. So I'm like, oh, good. They're going to be able
to
make.
There.
Yeah, they're going to have something to make them some money for a while, at least, while Reed's getting his music career going. But, yeah. Well, Cole is 19. He's studying overseas in Argentina with Pepperdine. So he's a student with Pepperdine and absolutely loves it. And called the other night and said, can I stay for another semester in Argentina? So I was like, okay, I can't imagine your dad saying, no, you have to come home and go to Malibu. Yeah.
Right. He's really mission-minded. When he's a teenager, he's been on more mission trips than me and her combined. He's been all over the world, and that's just what he loves to do, and I can't be more proud. I mean, you know, when my son came to me and said, I want to go to this country or that country and help other people, I'm just like, okay. I mean, I'm really proud of him. He's really doing
it. And that is a blessing from the show, that we're able to financially do that and allow that to happen. So we feel very grateful. And he does, too. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for letting me be here. Yeah. So
he
feels that way,
it.
Too. Yeah. Yes, and he's having a great time. And then Mia is 14, and she's in middle school. So this is a new phase. Mm-hmm. Well, I say new. It's eighth grade. But it just seems like eighth grade has been a big year for her. And I think not just her age, but because her brothers left home at the same time, the cameras pulled out at the same time. So this busy street is now pretty quiet. And she's kind of had to find herself of where does she fit in now, you know, with the busyness. So,
but she's a teenager.
She's a teenager.
You know, she's just at that age where you're trying to find yourself or whatever.
Oh, man, I know that. Yeah. You know that too,
well,
John.
Yeah. One of my daughters, when she was about that age, called it horror moans.
Yeah.
My horror moans are happening, Mom. It's like, yes.
That's such a good phrase.
And she's been through so much. She's been through 10, 11 surgeries, depending on your definition of surgery, I guess.
Procedures, lots of procedures.
And she's always, you know, having to go to Dallas, which is her hospital, because she was born with a cleft lip and palate.
Yeah, and we want to get into that. So tell us quickly at the end of today, and then we'll pick it up next time for day two. But what happened? I mean, that's a big story.
It's a big story, and that's what the book is about.
We'll ask God when we get there to heaven what happened. Yeah. But because it happened, we had to figure out a way to deal with it. And so when I was 31 weeks gestation is when we found out that she was going to be born with at least a cleft lip. We couldn't tell anything inside the mouth at that time, and we were shocked. So first we had to deal with the initial shock of the situation because we knew nothing about it. We knew nothing about this condition. And, of course, the first question is, why?
Mm.
Mm. Why did this happen?
We were doing everything we thought
right.
Correct. Kind of transactional with the Lord, right?
Oh, yeah.
If I do all these things, everything will be a blessing.
But then I felt guilty at first for asking why, because growing up in a very conservative Christian, I won't just say home, it wasn't just my parents, but just church and school and all this, you're kind of told not to ask why, because then you're questioning God. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to question, you just need to accept and trust that this was His will. And that's great on paper, but when that actually happens in life, that's the first question that comes to mind is why? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, if I don't ask the question, I'm not going to get the answer. So I'm going to ask. And I just started praying, like, why did this happen? And I think that has a whole lot of soul searching involved as well.
Which kind of led to about 3 months of us. She did the research, and I was doing more biblical research, thinking, how am I going to handle this? And I think we both came to each other because we were, you know, when all you do is ask why, and we didn't realize it, I think, consciously, but we were kind of having our own pity parties.
Oh, yeah.
And we reached that same conclusion, and we thought, you know, we're blessed with this girl being born, and why ruin the moment, you know, with all this pity? And 'cause it did have a different feel when we were when it was time for her to come out, I guess. There wasn't as much excitement as it was curiosity, how severe is this going to be?
And apprehension, a lot of apprehension.
How does this impact us? How does it impact her?
In my mind, you know, I thought, it's probably not as bad as we're thinking. Well, when she came out, you know, my initial thought was,
oh my, this is way worse than I thought it was going to be.
It was devastating, yeah.
Yeah, and Missy, she couldn't see her, and she was like, what? I could read her mind saying,
well, I needed that first initial report.
How bad is this? And I gave a good godly lie. I said, oh, it's not that bad.
He
it's
did.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to, you know,
yeah, no,
send her into
wisdom.
Trauma here after this. But I knew it was going to be tough then. And that's the deal with her condition. You know, a lip, they can go in and correct in surgery. But when you get into the palate and the
bones.
Severe nature
right.
and bone, this is not something you can fix. And a lot of people don't realize that you manage it as they grow, because nothing ever grows right since it wasn't there to start with. And so, and that was a lot of frustration for us in trying to talk to people, because they were like, well, why don't you just go get it fixed? And they're like, it doesn't really work that way.
Right. It's a process. And we've got to come back next time. And I want to ask those questions, because many parents are living that right now. Mm-hmm. They're in that place where you were back when Mia was born, and you're mm-hmm. thinking, wow, okay, I'm going through something like that. It may
right.
not be cleft palate and cleft lip and those things.
And that's the main
things.
Thing is to understand that you're going don't have that guilt. Because you want answers.
Well, we want to get into that.
You just need to find the answers.
And what's great about it, and what we'll get into next time, is for a lot of this process, we got to turn around and learn instead of trying to always try to teach your kid something.
Right.
We learn because our kid taught us so much about endurance and perseverance.
Well, that's the beauty of it. And Jason, Missy, it's been fun day one here to get to know you better and how you got married and the background and all that. And let's come back next time and really dig into the spiritual value okay. of what you learned through hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And here, you know, especially in the United States, but Western culture, we run from that hardship. When I think the Lord is saying, I'm going to teach you something through mm-hmm. it, so stick with me and trust me. It's what he's saying to us. And so often we want a clean life. We want an easy life. We want a simple life. Folks, that's usually not the walk for the Christian. It's about that's learning right. to be more like him, which usually comes through pain because he suffered for us. So let's come back next time and do that. You're a great resource, blessed. It's a wonderful encouragement for moms and dads, husbands and wives, even singles, to say, okay, what does that road ahead look like? Mm-hmm. And John, folks can get this. Let's put it in their hands. I mean, if you can't afford it, we'll get it into your hands. Just call us here at Focus on the Family. For those that can't afford it, give us a gift of any amount to help the ministry here. Do what it needs to do on behalf of the Lord by saving marriages, touching people, and helping people.
Yeah, get this book and donate to Focus on the Family at focusonthefamily.com/radio or call, as Jim said. Our number is 800-232-6459. And Jim, I do so appreciate the byline on the book, Keep the Faith When Life Can't Be Fixed.
That's so good.
And we'll hear more about that next time.
Yeah, we will. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And I hope you'll join us again next time on Focus on the Family as we continue this conversation with Jace and Missy Robertson and once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Let's face it, bedtime can be a tough time for you and your child. But with the Adventures in Odyssey Club, it doesn't have to be. Your child will drift into dreamland listening to any of more than 800 audio adventures. So experience a calmer end to your day for an incredible low monthly price of just $9.99. If you're not a club member yet, what are you waiting for? Sign up now at AIOclub.org. That's AIOclub.org.